Yeah, oh yeah. Don't worry about it, babe. She's not home, and the kid's at a friend's house.
Oh, great, Roger. Well, thanks for showing me your place tonight.
You got it, huh? Hey, who's in the hallway? You're home, Jimmy?
You bet you.
Oh.
Is everything okay, Roger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. Jim, you like the... You like the Yankees, right? Let's go to a Yankee game. All right,
Roger.
Hey, everybody. Yes. Oh! Yeah. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, my great co-host, the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you want in on this, it sounds like. You want to get in on this?
That one was funny.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I liked that one. I'm behind the Jimmy train on that one. That was good. That was enjoyable.
Good. Well, I appreciate that, Chris. So it's a Thursday. It's the Q&A. And we've got some very, very interesting questions. But first, I want to thank Directive Consulting. Directive Consulting has come out with a new digital marketing training course called Institute. You can go to directiveconsulting.com/institute. We'll have a link in the description. Learn digital marketing the right way. Learn by doing. This is a step-by-step digital marketing training to drive more sales to any business. You can get 4 free lessons when you sign up today. 4 free lessons, completely free. There's over 40 actionable video tutorials. There's an official certification. It covers PPC, SEO, conversion rate optimization, analytics and optimization, and it's designed specifically for you. Whether you're a student wanting to acquire skills that employers desperately need, or you're an in-house marketer wanting to improve your digital marketing skills as quickly as possible, or you're an agency and you want to learn how to get better results for your clients and customers, Institute from Directive Consulting is the digital marketing course to check out. Go to directiveconsulting.com/institute, sign up for free, and get your 4 free lessons today. directiveconsulting.com/institute, 4 free lessons today, and we will have a link in all our descriptions. So, Chris, is everything good with you? I was just, got me a butter knife, got me some butter, and I was just laying it on thick before the show started, giving you some compliments, loosening you up, if you will. And it seems like you're doing good today, and that's good to see.
Yeah, it's a good week. Nothing that I know is different at all. Everything exactly the same as it should be. Normal day.
So, Chris, today we have some very interesting questions. As everyone knows, we do the Q&A show on Thursdays, and we answer your questions about digital marketing, Google Ads, and everything that's included in life in general. So whatever kind of questions you want to send in, we'll answer them. PaidSearchPodcast.com on the contact page, or ask us on Facebook or Twitter. So Chris,
yeah,
why don't you kick us off with today's first question?
First question comes from Roger from Oklahoma. He says, Jason, I'm having a fight with my girlfriend. Can you help me out and tell me how to convince her that I'm right?
That's a fake question.
See, guys, that's the kind of question that Jason really wants to answer. I just made that one up. That's not actually, it's actually from Eric. Eric from Richmond. But Jason really wants those kind of questions.
Hey, Chris, what state is Richmond in?
Virginia. Richmond, Virginia.
Good. Good for you. Just making sure.
Oh, boy.
You all had us a little bit scared with your St. Louis, Louisville.
Yeah. Maybe it's pronounced Richmond, Virginia. I don't know. You know, I never know. It doesn't matter. I mean, there's only one out of 50 that really matter. And Texas is it, guys. I don't know why you're not here. All right. So Eric from Richmond. Hey, guys. Great podcast. Just started listening and... All caps, wow. Thank you. I'm helping a business friend with his SEM. His business sells VoIP business phones. The clicks are crazy, like $50 to $100 per click. I tried some long tail ideas, But search.
I guess we don't have a question because those work.
Yeah.
Do we still have a question because it didn't work?
No, yeah, okay. Didn't, he still
I'm just,
has
I'm just trying to get clarity because I've heard great things about Longtail. All I hear are great things about Longtail. So I didn't know if it had worked at the time he was writing out this question. And then he was like, nope, never mind. Don't need it anymore. Is that how the question ends or did it not work? I'm just trying to understand because I hear a lot of good things about Longtail.
So, yeah, let me fill in the details. He said, I added 600 exact match long detail keywords. Huh, didn't work. sorry, Eric, I'm sorry. We're just playing. I tried some long tail ideas, but search volume for this category is very low when you cut down geo to his service area of 50-mile radius with 2 million people. Any ideas? Thanks, Eric. First of all, Eric, I'm going to hand it off to you, Jason, in a second. First of all, I don't care if the search mile is only 50 miles. If you have 2 million people, you don't have a search radius problem. You don't have a like limited.
Yeah. Issue. What is Richmond, Virginia? Like the new, what is it? Like New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and then Richmond's number 5 and they have 8 million people there.
Well, 50 miles.
What are you
talking
about? 2 million people is a lot of people.
I think it's near some other big cities. I don't know. I mean, I've never been there, but.
No, 2 million is a lot of people. That's plenty for a search engine marketing campaign.
So first of all.
That's my point.
Jump on. Number 1.
I wouldn't
1,
worry about that.
Diagnose 2 things about your question. Long tail's not your answer. And lack of volume of people is not your answer. So, Jason, what do you think on this? Does Eric have a hope in Richmond?
Oh, we can give him hope. So, Chris, we're gonna kind of dig into this one pretty deeply because this is a very big problem.
Yeah.
What is I like the words most, number one, the biggest, and so you can apply any of those to this sentence, but the number one problem I run into with new clients, maybe I just like saying it, is a daily budget that's smaller than the
average
cost
PPC.
Per click.
Yeah.
Average cost per click. Yeah. Or not smaller, but just in the range of it, not big enough compared to the average cost per click. So then I tell people that, and then people go, okay, just send me some documentation on that to prove this is a problem. And then I go, I can't send you, I don't have paperwork. I've got a fist and I can give you that. And I can give you a knuckle sandwich because I don't have any documentation. It's just experience that I've learned.
Right.
So Chris, let's start off with a couple things here as we go extremely deep together into this one. Number one, is that really a problem what I'm talking about? And then number two, do you have any proof or is this also just a, you're so cool and good at Google Ads gut feel, which I think is valid.
Well,
is this a problem that you run into?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny though. I sent you an email. We had a little chat on Slack.
Oh, you were about to send me more than an email. You're about to send me some money.
Yeah. And then I sent
you're about to send me some money. I saw a national advertiser. You were like, hey, I'm a little too busy right now.
Yeah.
This one's for you, buddy. It's something you would like. And I was like,
I sent it over.
Send it my way. And I don't usually say that. I don't usually say that. But it was looking juicy.
Yeah. And then what did you see?
So juicy.
What did you see? You saw a spreadsheet with.
I saw $30 a day.
You saw a spreadsheet with hundreds of keywords. And then down a little further on the line, down the line, you saw a budget that was laughable. I mean, just nothing. It's just nothing. So to say if this is a problem or not is an understatement. It is a chronic problem. It is a sickness. It is a virus pandemic that affects everyone and puts us all in isolation. And I
and we don't have a vaccine for it either.
Oh, there's no vaccine.
Stuff you got to try out.
No.
Yeah.
No. And the solution is not what Eric's saying. It seems like, you know, what ideas do you have on how to fix this? You know, what kind of keywords, what kind of strategy can I use? I think the first thing that we have to say is, you have to change your frame of mind on this. You're going to have to change your clients, your friends' frame of mind on this. Give me something to work with. You're going to have something to work with. You're either going to play the game
it's kind of like
or you're not.
You give us a block of Swiss cheese, and then you're like, I want to make a cheddar cheese sandwich. And we're like, well, we can't just turn Swiss into cheddar cheese. We got Swiss cheese.
Mm-hmm.
We got this industry with this average cost per click. We've got to deal with the Swiss cheese and come up with something with that. So, Chris, so we can't share any documentation, any kind of tutorials or training that says a low daily budget relative to the cost per click is a problem. There's no proof of that. So why are you saying this is a problem? What kind of issues do you run into?
Yeah. So it's a problem because the one thing in Google Ads that works is data, right? That's the difference between a billboard and Google Ads, is that the billboard, you don't get any information. You just put it up there, you spend money, and you hope it works. With Google Ads, data is what's important. No matter what you spend $5, you spend $5,000, you're going to get some data. $5 is going to get you very little. $5,000 is going to get you a lot. So the problem with a CPC that's really high, that's more than your average cost per, your average cost per click is more than your daily budget. The problem is you get no data. You get no information. You have nothing to work with. How are you going to make a decision when you blow, you know, an entire week's worth of spend on one click and it wasn't even a good one, or it was just VoIP business phones, just that exact match keyword? What have you learned there? You've learned nothing. You've very likely they didn't convert. They clicked. It cost you $50. You've learned nothing. So you're going to have to play the game. And I would say first is you're going to have to either decide, am I willing to get some information? Am I willing to put some tests in place to try what's going to work? And in order for it to happen, you're going to have to throw some budget at it. Okay, let's get serious. Let's try it for 1 month, dedicate a certain amount of spend, and try it. The most you'll lose is that money. And what you'll definitely gain is knowledge. You'll definitely gain knowledge about what works and what doesn't. You may get one hit, and hopefully that'll pay for the entire month of advertising there. So that's the first thing. You're going to either have to make the decision of whether you're going to do that or not. And if you're not, I don't know. I don't know if I really have any ideas if you're not going to play the game, because...
Well, I've got some ideas because I run into this all the time, and it's not even with business services, VoIP, $50, $60 cost per click. Sometimes I run into it with movers where they want a daily budget of $15. The average cost per click might range from $15 to $30 in their market, and it just screws things up. So there's no documentation that I know about, but like you're saying, Chris, it tremendously slows down the data gathering process. If Google allows you to go over budget by, I think, up to 200% or something like that on any given day, you can spend $45 that first day, not spend anything the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it just seems like things get screwed up, and it seems like the system does not perform like it can perform if your bids are too small compared to your daily budget. What is too small? I don't have a rule of thumb. I know that equals, probably not a good thing, $50 daily budget, $50 max CPC. I know that greater than the daily budget is not a good thing, $40 day budget, $50 max CPC. And I know that close to the daily budget above it is not a good thing, $50 day budget or $60 day budget, $50 max CPC. So maybe it's a 2x thing. You can at least get a couple clicks a day. Maybe that's a good rule of thumb to go down. Chris, if they don't want to add the budget overall, and I think you make a good point, because what is business? Business is low risk, high reward, limited downside, unlimited upside. Dealing with this with a client right now, trying to get them to run on a different device, and they just won't do it. And I'm like, hey, other people are doing it. They're making money. Why don't you want to try to make money? And they have their theories, but I'm like, we can limit your downside. We can just give me a test budget. It can be small. We can limit the downside. So you can raise your overall budget if you're willing to do that. If you're not, the move always, Chris, is make your daily budget bigger without making your monthly budget bigger. If you don't want to make your monthly budget bigger, you shrink the number of days you run. You shrink your schedule, and that allows your daily budget to be bigger, but your overall monthly budget is the same. So if your budget's $1,000 a month, you run 20 business days.
You're like 50.
That's $50 a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 50. Good math. And then if you run 10 business days, well, all of a sudden you get a $100 a day budget.
Yep.
And so that's probably that's the easiest move you can make. Chris, I think this is, as far as bids go, trying to figure out how low you can go. Do you agree with this? Maybe try lower bids than you think are realistic for a few days, for a week. See if they work. And if that doesn't work, you can try max clicks. Do you think both of those strategies are maybe good bidding strategies just to get a feel on where you're actually at?
I think so, because the risk of the CPC, you know, spending $50, $75 on one click, that is such a risk. Often I'll tell people that I start my bids higher than I need to so that I can get the ball rolling and get things started. But
I do that too.
In this case, since the risk is so high and the CPC is so high and we have limited budget to work with, and assuming we've done what you said, we're only showing like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, maybe we're just doing that.
We've already kind of done what we can to increase our daily budget without increasing our monthly budget. We're trying. We're at least trying in that regard.
We're showing 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's all we're doing.
And yeah, we're not going to blow our budget on the random 2 a.m.
Right. That stuff's correct. Out of the question. Not going to do that. And so, yeah, I think at first I would probably start with lower. See if I can even do anything with a lower CPC. If it doesn't work, then okay. And then from there, you know, let's get busy. Let's get serious about bidding on some of this stuff. And, you know, we see if we can blow it up more. Now, I would say from there, my next suggestion is higher funnel stuff.
People need to hear this. People here need to hear this about max clicks on Exact and Phrase and broad match modified lower funnel. Because any here from me, because Chris, what do you think of when you think of me and automated bids? No, don't curse. Don't curse right on our show, please. Right. I'm not the person recommending automated bids.
No.
Ever, hardly. No. But I am in this situation.
This
is one of the situations where if we have a small daily budget relative to a high cost per click, I will try the max clicks automated strategy, maximum clicks or maximized clicks, to see what the system sees that maybe I can't see. Maybe I just don't have it in me to bid $10 on VoIP stuff and know I'm not going to get anything for a day. Then the next day, bid $15. Then the next day, bid $20 and go up that ladder. Maybe I'll just try max clicks and see what the system is doing and kind of speed up that process. So I do recommend trying out, at least for a few days after you get past the learning system, max clicks. Now, Chris, that's assuming you want to stick with the Swiss cheese. But what if you actually did remember you have some cheddar cheese that they're requesting in the fridge, but it's moldy now, broad match, and you pull out that moldy cheese? Talk us through some of the options if you're willing to part with the super competitive low funnel quality keywords, or at least willing to not part with them, but do things in addition to them.
Right. So, Eric, I have to go back and say, the reason we were laughing and making fun of you about the long tail stuff is because for this kind of industry, I would say even Google Ads in general, when it comes to long tail stuff and pulling in your SEO researched keyword long tail list of 600 keywords, 400 keywords, 200 keywords, we laugh at those because we know that the amount of effort and the amount of time and energy that it takes to generate that, put that together, build some ad groups, add copy around that kind of stuff, it's a lot of work. And in reality, what we've tested and we know works better is we use low bid, broad match, high funnel keywords. And we test those for longer tail, more valuable, less CPC clicks. So what it might look like is I might drop the word VoIP and I might just try business phones with a broad match business phones, right? And I would throw some negative keywords in there. Wow, you know, I might throw some iPhone stuff in there, you know, I apps, do some research on negative keywords, but I might throw some broad match stuff in there. Another thing I like to do, Jason, this is something I haven't discussed. It's a relatively new campaign that I launched this month. I have one client where I did targeted audiences to a very specific segment, and I used broad match keywords, very broad match, just horrible broad match. And it's killing my cost per conversion on my low funnel campaign. I'm actually doing better on my audience plus keyword targeting for this one client that I'm working on it with. So that's what I would suggest here. For this, if you're not sure how to do it, I'm not going to go into the details, but do a targeted audience plus broad match keywords. Try that. Bid lower on it. Bid for people that are, you know, looking at and are in market for business services, business finances, business software. You know, people are going to be looking up business stuff. You know, there's tons of that. And use that as a targeted audience plus broad match keywords. That's another layer to try and avoid that super high $50 CPC.
Yeah, and Chris, when you're talking about pure broad keywords, I also like doing pure broad on just the words themselves. So if voice business phones, voice business phone companies are some of your greatest keywords, I love doing those as broad as well. Just throwing those in there.
Yeah.
So Chris, you can do that with the keyword strategy. You can play around with that. Another thing you can do, and again, this is, you have to take steps like this because we're trying to give solutions, but all these solutions, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, and you just got to raise that budget and live with it. And just to throw this out there, one reason, well, let me put it this way, Chris, if you're trying everything, and I've tried this before, you know, when you go into a settings on a search campaign, display select, mm-hmm. I think it's called,
mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And it's like, do you want to run on search partners? Do you want to run on
display select? Yeah.
Where Google, you're not really running display, but if Google thinks there's a good website or a good person or a good topic or whatever to show your ads to, display ads, they'll throw them on there, even though it's a search campaign. So I like trying that when I'm dealing with a low daily budget, high cost per click, Chris, just to try it, because it's just a try. I just have to try it. So how do you know if it's working or not? You can segment it out your data at the campaign level based on, I think, network, and it'll tell you display network. And then you can see, yes, you're probably getting a much lower cost per click. Are you getting any conversions from it? That's something to judge. But that is one way where even if your search clicks come in high cost per click, it can at least lower your average cost per click, which looks a little better. It
looks better.
I'm serious. it just looks more promising. It just gives you some confidence.
Yeah.
This is a very tough situation we're dealing with. Yeah. So if you can just get some momentum. So that's one thing. And then just some, trying to think of anything else I do in this situation, Chris. And I'm just thinking of some mindset things. So number one, you can go down remarketing display YouTube. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And I'll put you kind of in a client scenario. But then before we get to that, and I think you'll agree with this, sometimes you just have to man up, woman up, and understand that this is an auction system. And if other people are bidding $50 to $60 per clicks and doing it all the time, that means they're making money from it. So that means this advertiser selling VoIP business phones, he either will make money bidding at that level, or if they're not making money bidding at that level and other people are, you're doing something wrong as a business. Your sales aren't as good. Your pricing is off. Your website sucks. You don't follow up on leads.
Right.
There's no room to suck because it's an auction system. So you gotta be realistic as well. But Chris, that said, let's say you're going through this with a client. You're doing these things on the search campaign. You're trying broad with audiences, trying max clicks, trying to limit the day so you have a bigger daily budget, and you're doing it, but things are slow because you've slowed them down kind of purposely, limiting the days. And they go, Chris, we want more. We know you're the best. We know you're the great Chris Schaefer. We hear about remarketing. We hear about the pure display. We know about different audiences in marketing stuff. We know about placements. We know about YouTube ads. We have YouTube videos. Can we do some of that stuff and get lower cost per clicks and get some value from it for our business in addition to the search campaign?
Well, I don't know. I mean, for me, it seems like if you're testing all of those things and doing the low funnel search campaign, it seems like you're stretching yourself so thin that you're not going to be able to make decisions. So
if their budget is $1,000 and they have an extra $300, they're throwing on pure YouTube, pure display, in market, all that kind of stuff. As a Google Ads manager trying to solve the riddle, you'd rather have that extra 30% of budget to work with on the search campaign if they're looking for direct leads.
I'd rather either do low funnel search that's costing me 50, 60, 70 bucks a click, or shut that off and do high funnel testing with broad match, do some display, you know, test those other things, because I don't think I can do both and really say that I'm really giving either one full throttle. You know, like, I don't want to really split the difference between the two because both seem less impactful if I have only, if I only have like $5 a day to work with low funnel stuff, how much am I really deciding with here?
Chris, I like that discipline, and I need to hear that discipline because I run into this with clients where they give you kind of an unrealistic daily budget, and then they also push you to get results. And I hear things like, well, let's mix in display, let's mix in YouTube, let's get the overall cost per click down, let's add this other, or use some of the budget for that, like just to get some traffic going. And what am I, if nothing else? I'm a yes man, you know, yeah. I'm here to please, I'm here to give people what they want. And it takes discipline to go, no, that's not right for your situation, you want leads. And I think one of the biggest things you can do, Chris, when you're in this situation, I've never thought about this before, but this is probably the number one, the biggest, the most important thing to do when you go into a situation like this. Right. Give yourself time. Tell yourself, tell your client, hey, we're in a tough situation here, but if we can solve this and continually get good, solid leads for your business in a competitive market with a small budget, that's going to be a big win for your business over the long term. That's going to be a 5-year deal, a 10-year deal. So if it takes more than a month or two or three, let's chip away at it. Do you like that kind of mindset going into a hard situation like this?
Yeah, I think so. I think what triggers me more is when I get a client that says, I want to try this for 1 month, you know, like the short term type of thing. I want to try this for a very short amount of time. I just had a client that I worked with that literally gave me 30 days and I killed it. I did so good with this campaign and he stuck to his 30-day time limit. And we shut it off and that was it. He said, you know, I'm going to see how these lay out and I'll come back to you. And I delivered a ton of leads. I was so happy with it. And, you know, just really turns me off to think the amount of momentum, the amount of testing that we get can just, you know, the interruption of that can be really frustrating, both in the Google Ads system and as a manager, to shift gears, to try new things constantly. I think it's very destructive.
You know what? I'm the king of movers. I'm the king of other industries. I'm the king of
everything.
This podcast. I'm the king of this industry.
Everything.
and I'm also the king of analogies. And Chris, you're going to love this analogy. You and I, professional, not professional because people can say they're professional, but really talented Google Ads managers.
Sure.
We're like the casino. We're the house. Mm. The odds are always in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get a moving company, a $4,000 a month budget, and a client that's willing to give us that 2 weeks, that 30 days to figure things out, and all the tracking's in place, and it's in a Midwest city as opposed to like a Los Angeles or a New York City, and it's not the most competitive environment, and the client's business is a good business, good website, good sales staff, and all that, the odds are tremendously in our favor that we're going to be able to win on Google Ads and get them good, profitable results. They're really in our favor. If a client comes to us, a moving company, $300 a month budget, Los Angeles, very competitive market, right. Horrible website, we are beavers in a dam. We will figure out how to do what we do.
Yeah.
But the odds, they're still in our favor. But instead of winning 90% of the roles, we only win 50.1%. And the odds are barely in our favor. And so when the odds are bigger in our favor,
right.
We can get results faster because they're bigger in our favor. So we don't need as many rolls of the dice. But when they're barely in our favor, it can go the wrong direction over and over and over for a lot of rolls, a lot of months in a row.
Yeah.
Because the odds are so close.
All it
but
takes,
if you give us enough time, we'll get there.
All it takes is when you have, that's a great point. You're right. I always love when you.
Do you love that
I
analogy?
I love your analogies.
Can you bow?
Every
We're
time.
Not shaking hands these days.
Just
We're
high
virtual.
Five.
We can't shake hands.
Just boom.
No. Give me a bow or give me a flex. You know I like those. Give me a flex, please. let me see that bicep. Come on, please, Chris. I deserve it on this. No. Give me a bicep. No.
No.
Give me
every
a bicep.
Every time. Like what I love about your analogy is this. All it takes is a couple losses and you're immediately done. If you have the deck
That's
stacked against you,
I love that.
Is that you? All it takes is you immediately start off with one wrong decision. It's over. You're going to start failing immediately.
It's over.
So there you go, Eric. You know, I think that's the argument to take to the bank. Is listen, this is going to be tough. And if you start me out with I'm able to get like 4 clicks a month for you, we're going to fail because all it takes is just bad judgment on one thing and it's over. You know, I didn't choose the right kind of keyword. The ad copy's bad. The landing page wasn't very good. You know, the load page for the website took too long and four people left because it took more than 8 seconds for it to load. I mean, that's all it takes and it's over. Game over.
Chris, we just gave some good advice, man, right, Eric. There. We didn't butter them up. We didn't lie to them. We didn't say it's going to be easy. We didn't say it's always going to work.
No.
But we walked through all the different scenarios you can run into, and we gave some good advice. So, you love that?
Oh, I think every other podcast would have said, you can do it. You have the strength. Just be positive.
Be positive.
I'll tell you what, you talk about punching people. Mm.
Be positive. Hey, here's another one, Chris. Just A-B test it. No. Just A-B test it. I'm sure you'll figure it out if you A-B test it.
Just throw a lot of long tail at it. And you'll
so, Chris, we're going from Richmond, Virginia to Vilnius.
Say it. Where is that?
Lithuania.
Where is...
The capital.
No.
The capital city of Lithuania, no. Known for its Baroque architecture.
No, no, no. Where? What part of it is... It's the... something of Europe?
I think the Europeans know what that reference is. So, Gitis or Gitis, we appreciate your question, but I'm not going to read what you put there because that's inappropriate for our show.
Come on.
Even though it is kind of on brand with the beginning
of this
episode.
It's the G-spot of Europe. He says it's the G-spot of Europe. I said it. My mom doesn't listen to this show.
Yes, she does.
That's funny. No, she does not.
She does.
No. G-spot of Europe. That's funny.
All right. I
said it three times.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
It's a fictional place is what I've heard. There is no G-spot of Europe.
I really do not know why I'm listening to your podcast. I love this guy's questions, Chris.
Yeah, he's great.
He will just punch you in the teeth and then he'll pick you back
and then
up.
Make
we're
you
just
smile.
Playing, buddy. We're just playing. I'm in Lithuania. We're just playing, buddy. Come on, buddy. Is it because of the information you give about Google Ads or because of your sense of humor? Anyway, great job. So far, the best podcast I found on the internet about Google Ads. So, Chris, he is running Google Display Network remarketing campaigns for e-commerce. And he sees a lot of data. However, he does not see reach or unique cookies, quote, or in parentheses, visitors, or impression frequency cap. It's blank in those columns. I can see the other companies' remarketing banners everywhere. His competitors, more specifically, most of the time, the same three or four companies. They pop up like crazy everywhere. But I have never seen my own banner. Not once. My colleagues don't see it either. But I am gathering data on that audience. What's wrong, Chris? Should I increase the frequency cap? I'm already allowing Google to do that. So it sounds like he's on the default, let Google decide how often to show remarketing ads to users. Should I restrict location and put all the budget on a few of them? By the way, I really enjoy those creepy intros. So Chris, can you kind of summarize the main question here? Because I'm getting that he sees his competitors' ads the remarketing, but what else with this impression reach thing, cookies?
Yeah, so the first question was, why can he not see reach or unique cookies per visitor and impression frequency cap? He said it's blank in both of those columns. So Gitis, I'm gonna just own it. I'm going to call it Gitis. Gitis, look this up because you're right. I checked it on mine, and this is not something I regularly use, but I checked it on my accounts, and you're right. I do not see unique cookies information. I just see a dash. It's just all blank.
What are we looking for here? Remarketing campaign, and then what column?
It's going to be you could look on remarketing, and
I'm going to look it up.
You add it as a new column. It's going to be in your reach, I believe. It should be in the reach section. You could just search for the word cookies. You can do a search on the columns for cookies and you'll find it. But basically, this is news to me, but I did the search and it's gone. It appears, and we could add the link to the show notes, but it appears it's been depreciated, sunsetted, essentially stopped. Google stopped giving that information out. It's no longer information that's shown. As of later last year, November October.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, dude. I added the column unique cookies and it's blank.
Yep.
For the last 30 days for remarketing campaigns. Mm-hmm. And it says, note, starting on 8-1-2019, cookie-based reach metrics are no longer available for date ranges ending on 8-1-2019, August 2019 or later.
Yep.
Going forward, unique users use unique users to track reach. And then I have the column unique users, and that column does have data for the last 30 days.
Okay. There you go. So they've changed.
Is there
it.
A difference to you between unique users or unique cookies?
Cookies is a very
break that down.
Is a very binary metric because a cookie represents just one code on a browser. So that could you could have multiple cookies for you as a user, right? You could have it on your phone and your laptop.
Is this like if Jimmy and Roger and Mom shared a computer downstairs?
No, I don't think that's. I don't think that's the case. I think
asking for a friend.
People have multiple devices. You have a laptop, a computer, and a mobile phone. And I think what that's referring to is the fact that they know that this person has a cookie on multiple devices. But nowadays, these sessions, if you use Chrome, your session is shared across all of your logins. If you use Safari, that session is shared across multiple Safari logins because it's sharing that data. So I think that's what it is now.
If you're saying I'm at the library and I log into my Google account or whatever and I see a remarketing ad, and then later I'm at the coffee shop on my phone and I see the same remarketing ad, now they understand I'm the same user?
I think so.
Even though I did it from two totally different devices?
Yeah, I think that's the difference. And
unique users.
If you remember, a couple years ago is when that big shift happened. I believe it started with Apple, and they stopped independently. There was a cookie change, the way that they allowed cookies to work, and now it would share that information by device instead of just assigning it to one device. So I think that's what it is.
So I'm going to hover over unique users, shows the total number of people who saw an ad in display or video campaigns over a given period. This metric, it shows the total number of people. This metric uses cross-device statistical models
cross-device.
To measure the total reach of an ad by adjusting for cases when people may see the same ad on different devices or when multiple people share one device. These models are calculated at the country level. So, yeah, so if a family has a family computer, but then you're logging in on different browsers or whatever, and then also if you are on some device like your laptop, then you go to your phone, they're not going to say you reach two cookies.
Two cookies, that's still one user.
Because they don't report on that going forward.
Yeah.
It's just one user, which to me is good information.
It's better.
Right? Like I don't care about cookies. I don't know what the hell a cookie is, okay? I'm a marketer. I'm not a little coding boy. So I speak English also. Cookies I thought were something I eat
right.
with milk. And I leave out for the fat guy who comes down my chimney and leaves some presents under my tree and then stops by my bedroom.
I think you call him
and then goes on
curvy.
To the next house.
I think he's curvy now.
Curvy, Santa?
Yeah, I don't think you can call him fat.
Chris, unique users. I love that. So I guess our answer, at least with that one, that part of the question is forget about the cookie columns and just add the user columns. Now, why isn't he seeing his ads and he's seeing his competitors? Is his IP address blocked? Is his location blocked?
I have a definite answer to that one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have no idea. You can figure that out yourself.
Whoa.
How the frick should I know? Come on, Juvis. I don't know. Fix it. But I have no idea. There's so many variables.
Wow.
Email someone else. I don't know.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate that. If you guys have other questions, send them in. And I guess maybe we'll usually go for one for two or something like that. So, yeah, we're here to answer your questions. And we appreciate you all listening. I want to thank Directive Consulting for sponsoring today's episode. Directive Consulting has a very cool, effective digital marketing training platform they created called Institute. You can go to directiveconsulting.com/institute right now. Learn digital marketing the right way. Learn by doing. This is a step-by-step digital marketing training series of courses, video tutorials, and it will help you drive sales to any business. It covers 13 lessons of PPC, 10 lessons of SEO, 11 lessons of conversion rate optimization, 7 lessons of analytics and optimization. It's great for students looking to acquire skills, in-house marketers learning to improve their skills, and then agencies to help you all get better results for your clients and customers. You can get 4 free lessons right now at directiveconsulting.com/institute. We'll have links in our descriptions. Go there right now and get 4 free lessons today. directiveconsulting.com/institute. So Chris, that was a great Q&A. I think we're really helping people with these answers, and I appreciate you being here.
One last thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know anyone who's listening at this point, you know, plus 30 minutes, plus 40 minutes in, these are our real listeners. And I know that probably a lot of them are patrons that are listening. You can join our Patreon at, I don't know, paidsearchpodcasting.com/ click on the Patreon, whatever. I just work here. But, here's the thing. You guys have been voting on this thing, and I have to pull it up what the current vote is. But the last time I looked, it's close to 50-50 split between people that say they work in all industries and people that say they work in specific verticals, specific industries that, you know, in other words, like if someone came to them, wanted them to set up a Google Ads campaign in an industry they don't work with, they would literally go out and say, oh, sorry, I'll send this to my buddy because I only work in Jeebus, Deebus, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I just have to say, I don't understand you guys. I don't understand you. I don't get it. I don't know why you wouldn't open yourself up to all industries, be versatile, accept leads from anyone. Why would you want to be an expert in just a couple things? Because I'll tell you the worst, I'll tell you what, maybe we'll delete this. The worst dadgum argument I've ever heard from anyone that says I'm better than everyone else is because they say I was successful with this guy. When you say like, it's like, hey, Chris, I'm thinking about sending you this mover. Do you think you can handle that? And my argument is, yeah, I've done one mover before. I've been really successful with him. What the frick does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you'll be successful with another mover. It just means you got lucky once. It doesn't mean you're good at it.
Whoa.
Okay. That's it. I don't understand it. Maybe we'll have someone on, leave them on mute, and I'm just going to yell at them and look at their face because I don't want any guests on here. But,
you know, Chris, you told me you you quit Facebook a while ago, just in your personal life, and then you came back for this Q&A group or for the Patreon group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see why people in your life kind of recommended that you quit Facebook.
No one, right?
Because... Well, then now I'm seeing why people in your life had an intervention that maybe we should take a pause on the social media for a while on the Facebook because, you know, I was in there. I lurk in our group and I comment every now and then. And I saw that you were in the mix with some people on this topic, answering, leaving comments, all that kind of stuff, giving your opinion. And I thought it was left there. I did not know that there was this kind of passion
or been checking it.
Fight picking I've been or checking whatever it you want to call it about this topic.
I've been checking it every day.
Wow. You've been looking at this poll.
This poll. Wow. And it hasn't changed. It's pretty much stopped. Only like 12 people have voted. So it's a really small percentage. So maybe if we had a higher percentage, it'd be more accurate. I don't know. I don't understand. Don't come to my house.
Oh my gosh. Do you want to do this to my body right now, Chris?
What?
After what we the finish heck? the do you want to, your body's calling me?
What?
Do you,
stop it.
Sorry. What? That's got nothing to do with this. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. But Chris, do you want to do this where, by the way, you said 12 people. I don't believe that. I thought this poll was
no, it's not
getting
that,
juicier than that.
It's not that many.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, actually 13, 16. So.
Oh.
And it's pretty split. It's about 9-7 right now.
Is it? Okay.
On, I like to specialize in a few different verticals is the top one. So let's put this out there, Christopher. I never use but I kind of like the sound of it. Okay. I'll stop that. Yeah. I push things sometimes, you know, and I know when not to push it and I hear the tone of the voice there. So I'm not going to even go there. So Chris, we're doing our perfect Google Ads account checklist. We're doing it. We have one or two episodes left on that. After that, do you want to bring back, my dear friend across the aisle, a great debate?
Oh.
Specialize in one industry or be able to serve all industries.
Would you take
like
that?
You
Google
would, Ads.
You would side with the specialize in the industry side?
Sure, I'll do it. For the sake of the great debate.
I'm gonna start doing push-ups now because I'm gonna freaking bow up and just blow up on you. Here we go. All right, that's it. I'm done.
All right. Well,
start doing push-ups now.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back Monday to continue our series on the perfect Google Ads account checklist, and we'll continue doing that. And then it sounds like we have a great debate. So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Paid Search Podcast.